the charity of the week. Please tell us your name and charity.
My name's Helen Shepherd.
And my name's Emma Watterson. And we are here from A Little Piece of Hope.
How did the charity start and what is its purpose?
The charity originally started in 2012. I lost my daughter Hope to stillbirth at 25 weeks gestation. And there wasn't really any support in 2011 on the island. There weren't many baby loss charities. I don't think there were any baby loss charities actually at that point. So I wanted to support families who had gone through a similar thing to me. And we started A Little Piece of Hope. We actually met Dewan Watterson on the train from Port Erin heading up to Douglas, and he helped us out a little bit with how to write our objectives, and we kind of went from there. In 2014, we then realised after a couple of years working with families and children that there was more support needed for families on island with hospital travel and hospital stays. Although the government support to a certain degree, there's a lot that's left out for families financially. People have to go over for hotel stays, they need, you know, cost of food, and not all of that's paid for. So we set up more objectives to support people travelling to the UK. And then we also started supporting with mental and physical health disabilities. So we would donate iPads, push chairs for children with disabilities. Again, something that's quite underfunded on the island. That's where we've been. That's what we've been doing, and we're still going.
Tell us about your team.
So I am the founder. We've got two other trustees. So we're a fairly small charity. There's only three trustees on the books, and then we also then have volunteers for specific events and projects that we do. So we've got the Heroes of Man Awards, and we have the lovely Emma who helps out. We've also got a lovely lady called Leslie who helps with baby loss awareness, which we do a lot of, especially in October because we've got Baby Loss Awareness Month. Her husband also helps out a fair bit, Aaron. We've got my own children who are 12, 13 and 8. They take their own time out and come to various events and help with fundraising and just help do the running around and little bits and pieces that it takes to get all these events and things that we do up and running.
Who is the charity for?
Charity is for anyone on island who has a child gestational age or has lost a child gestational age, right up to the age of 21. We started with the objectives just going up to 16, and then we realised pretty quickly that actually young adults going up to the age of 21 also need support because they aren't necessarily financially set up at that age, or their parents haven't got the financial means to support them, whether they're going through hospital stays, whether it's bereavement support. So yeah, any families with children going up to the age of 21. We are also hoping to change the objectives a slight bit recently to help families who have with children who have maybe a father or mother or grandparent who may need support with travel going over to the UK as well. So that's a little something we're potentially going to start up this year.
Which other organisations do you work with?
We work closely with Arlo's Adventure. They're another baby loss charity, and they do very similar things to us, but in a slightly different way. So we speak to them a lot. It's nice as charities on island who are doing similar things to share what each other's doing and to raise more awareness for the subject that we're talking about.
What are your main goals?
I think main goals of the charity are to help people on island who I think without our support would really struggle to do the things they need to do. So, you know, families going over to hospital, parents need support. So if only one parent is allowed to travel with a child, that parent needs the support as well as the child. So we can fund for a second parent going over to hospital, for instance. Obviously bereavement, that's a very taboo subject still, I think, and it probably always will be, but we can kind of help people realise they're not alone. And I think when you first suffer a bereavement, then you feel alone. So it's being out there to just support those people.
How do you see the charity developing over the next 5 years?
The biggest thing we want to do is raise our... we want more awareness raised that we're here, because there's so many charities on island and we don't necessarily get across to people, so because we are a smaller charity. So I think it's just getting our name out there over the next 5 years, being able to raise more funds to help more people. So I think that's what we want to do. We just want to grow bigger and support more people in the process.
It's things like funding a headstone for a child that's lost. You know, that's something that families don't necessarily have the funds to get available if they've had, you know, support with funeral costs and things like that. They're suffering a bereavement. They may have an impact on their financial income because of that bereavement. To then have almost a luxury of a headstone, you know, isn't always possible, but it means so much for a long term for a whole family. It's not just the parent, it's siblings, it's grandparents, it's somewhere to go, you know, to sort of remember the person that's been lost. So I think there's a lot of hidden costs that you don't necessarily first think of, but mean so much. So we get a couple of requests for that a year usually. So,
and you're talking £1,000 to £2,000 for a headstone, which, you know, how many people have that disposable income? We paid for an epilepsy mat at the start of January. That was actually through the Heroes of Man Awards that someone contacted us because they didn't know about us, and then they found out about us through the Heroes of Man Awards through a friend's daughter who'd been nominated. And that was we paid for an epilepsy mat for this child for, I think, £550, and this parent had obviously had sleepless nights because their child might have a fit in the night, a seizure, and they wouldn't, you know, they had to be up and making sure they're okay, and this epilepsy mat just gives them that peace of mind, that they're a little bit more peace of mind at night.
How is the charity funded?
All from local fundraising. The Heroes of Man Awards is a big fundraiser for us. That's our yearly event, which, as well as celebrating Heroes on the Island, it is also a good fundraiser for us. We also do fundraising at events sometimes, not so much recently, but, you know, you might see us at, like, Nobles Park Fun Day. We are planning to be there. Sponsorship, donations from various businesses. We're in the co-op community causes this year. They have about 24 charities, I think, which they split money towards. And again, it raises a bit more awareness for us, which is good. We're also one of the mayor's charities this year, so there's three charities chosen. And again, it's not really, it's great because there is fundraising done, but it's more about the awareness that is raised as well.
How can people support you?
Get on our website. You can read a little bit more about what we do, but there's also links to our PayPal for donations. There's a nomination process at the minute for Heroes of Man. We've got a list of what £10 could do for us as a charity, £50, £100, £200. So take a look at that. Look at the ways to donate on our website, and that's the best way to get in contact with us.
Can I just add as well, like, so with the fundraising, I know Helen won't mind me saying, last year was a very difficult year for us fundraising. We are a really small team, and Helen was blessed with a lovely baby last year, but it was quite a difficult pregnancy. And we are relying on this trust that sometimes we can get support from, but it really is just a case of donations from the local community and through local causes. We're having to say no a lot more to people that need these things, and the epilepsy mat, like, again, it gives a whole family a peace of mind. If the parent can get more sleep, it can make the whole family's life a lot easier. And it's very difficult to be in the position where you're having to say we just can't help. I'm just looking at some of the figures at the moment. We're halfway through the year, and we've spent 75% of what we spent last year for the whole year. You know, we're projected to be spending £4,000 this year on supporting families going to the UK for hospital support, and that can make such a difference when you've got a young child who's potentially having, say, a heart surgery. The government will fund for one parent to go with that parent. Like Helen said, needs the additional support, but patient transfers can only also do so much. So it's trying to fill in that gap. So any donation is a much welcome donation, like any donation.
Yeah, the cost of a companion fare is approximately £200. So that's a return flight for the second parent. So that is actually with a discount. So we pay the £200 on behalf of that second parent. But again, it's those large sums of money that people just can't afford.
But obviously overheads from the charity. So we don't have an office or anything like that, but Microsoft Office that we need and we use is nearly £100 a year. You know, looking at our overheads, we've just sat, it's about £380 a month just for fuel, storage, the website running costs and that kind of thing. So, you know, if someone can give us £10 a month, that will cover the cost of the phone. And it doesn't seem like much, but everything will add up.
Where can people find out more?
www.alittlepieceofhope.com. And we have got a brand new website. We recently redesigned it, so it's looking really, really nice, really easy to navigate as well.
The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties. Profile complete.